Hello, everybody. Real quick, I just wanted to give you guys a brief little message about this episode. Unfortunately, Steve lost some of his recording. We only got about a little bit over an hour worth of his stuff for this episode. So beyond a certain point, I'm trying to do some editing voodoo magic to be able to get this to sound like a normal episode. So if you notice anything strange, just want to let you guys know that that's probably what it is, but I'm going to do my best to make everything seem seamless. So, all right, just want to give you guys a quick bit of info on that. And then, all right, now it's time for the episode.
Hello.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
What's up? Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse.
And today we have a very special episode for everybody because we have our buddy Steve here from the Decision Reel to help us talk about Scary Movie today.
What's up?
Yeah, Steve, good to have you back, man.
Hey, hell yeah, man. It's always a pleasure to be back on the show because it's so much fun.
Well, it feels like it's all been building up to this point right here because I feel like every single time we talk about a movie together, it all leads to Scary Movie somehow.
It always comes back, and it's funny, rewatching this for the first time in, I don't know, a year. I probably watch this every year, but I didn't realize how many different movies they're parodying. I mean, like, yeah, obviously you know the main ones, but then you start looking deeper and you're like, holy shit, there's a lot here.
Yeah. That's the great thing about the parodies of this era here is like it kind of tackles pop culture and just like other movies in general, just all the things that were influencing everything at that time.
Oh yeah, it's great.
It's really nice. Yeah. Okay, so since you're here, would you like to let people know who you are and what you do?
I mean, I guess we could do that, yeah. So, hey, I am Steve. I'm from a podcast called The Decision Reel. We do movie reviews of any movie that's out, new, old, in between, doesn't matter. We have three other people that are normally on the podcast, but, you know, I like to do these things where I get out there and talk to the world with other people on other podcasts, so when other people can come on ours and we can have a good time. You can find us, though, at The Decision Reel, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, maybe not anymore in America, who knows, but you can find us there. We got a website, www.thedecisionreel.com. You can find us there also. All of our episodes, everything else there. Find us, like us, do your thing. Yeah, cool.
It's a lot of fun. We've been on there many times, too. I can't remember all the movies that we've talked about.
It's been a bunch.
Yeah. Thanks to The Decision Reel, Travis has now seen Jaws.
That is true.
So.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is what got me into that. So we're about to take a deep dive into those sequels, by the way.
Oh, my God. They're so bad.
So, yeah, that's what I've heard.
So excited for him to see them.
It's going to be that time of year. It's going to be perfect.
The best part is Michael Caine is in one of them. Like,
yeah, we were just talking about that.
Sir Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
There we go.
Okay. Jesse, do you have any announcements you want to cover?
I do. This past weekend, we did our monthly To Be or Not To Be, and it was Jesse's pick, which means we had the cheerleader sleepover slaughter, and it's exactly what it sounds like.
No, it's not. It's about 20% twerking.
It's about 20% of a sleepover. I'd say 50% slaughter, and then you're correct, 20% twerking. Twerking to montages, and it's really fun. Yeah. Oh, and they cheer at they don't cheer at football games unless you're European.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on the football you are talking about.
Yeah, so go ahead and go check that out. Yeah.
There's twerking in a cheerleader slasher movie?
Yeah, like I'm not. I think maybe saying 20% twerking in the movie is generous. Like, it's probably closer to 30%. Like.
They have two extended twerking montages in an hour and 2 minute movie.
In fact, like in the movie at the party, they're like, "You guys want to have a twerk off?" And then they have a twerk off. Like, it lasts like 5 minutes of them just twerking.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know how to feel about this. That's like hilariously. I'm not.
Honestly,
but
I feel there. We read a review about it that said, "Great movie if you like showers and twerking."
Yeah,
and that's really all you need to know about it.
Well, okay then. I mean, I might have to watch it now.
Okay.
It's not a bad way to spend an hour.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's only an hour long, too?
Yeah.
So that's not even a movie then.
Yeah. Not like It shouldn't be feature length, but it is. But yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
They did the best. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun.
Wild.
All right. I've got our poll results for last week.
Okay.
So we talked about Spiral from the Book of Saw. And as always with our Saw movies, it's which trap do you think that you would survive?
Yeah.
So we had the subway trap, which is the tongue one. We had the finger trap, the wax trap, and the glass grinder.
Okay.
So let's go ahead with the easy one. Twitter was 100% the tongue trap. People are willing to bite their tongues off for that one.
I refuse to believe that people on Twitter are willing to rip their tongues out. There's no fucking way.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. No, nobody on that platform wants to stay silent.
Well, hold on. They don't need to actually be talking to type all the shit that they're doing on Twitter.
Oh, you think that don't you bring think reason people into this. On Twitter are just keeping it to Twitter?
I mean, all right, you're right.
What about Twitter Spaces?
Ew. Oh, yeah. I do love some Twitter Spaces the right night.
Yeah. Okay. And over on Instagram, 43% the subway trap, 29% the finger trap, 29% the wax trap, and nobody is making it out of the glass grinder.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I remember last week I said I wasn't ripping out my tongue, I wasn't ripping off my fingies, mm-hmm. and I wasn't severing my spinal cord. So I said by default, I'd have to go with the glass. And apparently I'm with the 0% on that.
Good on you. You know, good, I did the finger trap. The finger trap, like...
Yeah, well, because you practice all the time not using your hands or fingers.
Well, I think I remember I said I was going to be a Powerpuff Girl afterwards, where I just get my nubs and just, you know, get some Velcro or something like that. Or, like, give me some, like, robotic fingers, you know. Mm-hmm. Science has come a long way.
It has.
Steve, do you remember the traps from that movie?
So I'm trying to remember the glass trap. I think I remember everything else.
That's the one where he, the dirty cop is tied up and like the shards of glass are shooting out of a cannon and he has to like unlock him.
Yeah,
from
Chris
up there.
Rock has to like run up and unlock him. It's the partner he turned in that got him branded a rat.
Was it the one where the movie starts out with them with the two guys where one guy can't speak, one guy can't see, and there's like they're chained together?
You're several movies behind, man.
Oh. What fuck it, which one? I can't. I'm
this is the Chris Rock one.
This is
Chris Spiral.
Rock one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, duh. I've seen it once.
Okay.
Okay.
And I remember not hating it at all. I was like, wow, I'm actually surprised by this.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to remember that. I don't remember that, and I feel like that would be a very like, yeah, I remember that type scene.
It's got some of the gnarliest traps, I think. Yeah. They're all pretty brutal. We generally have had a fairly easy time like being able to be like, well, I guess if I had to do any of these, I'd do this trap. But one's like,
Yeah, it's like either you can't speak, either you lose your fingers, either you're paralyzed, or either you have glass going through your body. Like, which one are you going to choose?
Just kill me. I mean.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
It's funny, the thing I remember most about that movie is there's a YouTube guy that I watch, his name's Chris Ramsey, he's like a magician, and there's a scene in
is he a mind freak?
No, please, these are two different things. They're not mind freak. Anyways, I just remember watching it, and then there's a scene in which Chris Ramsey's on screen, I'm like, wait, no. Because this guy's not like a big deal, like in the world. Like he's got, I think, you know, he gets a couple million views here and there, and he might have over a million subscribers, whatever. But like in the magic world, sure. And he's the scene where the dude gets like his leg blown off or like his leg broken in
the drug dealer.
Yeah, he's the drug dealer. Yeah.
Oh,
but
shit!
Because it's such a weird like. Yo, wait a second. That's that guy?
God.
I literally had to stop the movie and like IMDb like, oh my God, it is Chris Ramsey. Get the fuck out.
Okay, but here's the thing. We talked about how Chris Rock seems like he's probably a real fucking nerd. So I could see Chris Rock being like, I want this magician guy I like.
Right. Well, he made a video about being in it and everything. And the thing is, he's a Canadian. He lives in Canada. I think he lives in like Vancouver or Toronto or whatever. And I feel like
they
were filming
in Toronto.
Exactly. So it was one of those things of the world's coming together. And I don't know. It was just kind of cool.
Okay. So let's get into Scary Movie if you guys are ready.
Background of Scary Movie.
I'm ready for Scary Movie. Always.
Okay. So Scary Movie released July 7th, 2000. We watched it on our Blu-ray. But if you do not have Blu-ray, you can stream it on Max right now. I think that's pretty much the only option. But you can also rent it on Apple TV, Amazon, or YouTube.
I think it's it's also on like Hulu Premium and like the YouTube subscription.
It's weird. It looked like it was saying the Apple Premium one, so like Showtime with Apple.
Yeah.
And, but like that doesn't make much sense to me, because like, does that mean it's not on normal Showtime? Like, I don't really know.
Yeah,
so there's like, what, Showtime Plus or something? Is now like a paid for subscription service like everything else has?
Yeah, you've got like the tiers with the different streaming services now. Like, we've got the more basic Hulu, and there's like a premium option that has add-ons and stuff, and I think you can watch it through that.
You can, yes.
Confusing.
I'm going to tell you guys one thing to do with your life, and it's gonna fuck your life up. Plex. Look into Plex.
Oh, I have, and it scares the shit out of me. Like, I'm like, how the fuck do I manage all this?
Oh, it is. Trust me when I say it will be life-changing. But you do you.
I'm going to try to do that.
Well, think about this. You guys have, I'm assuming, a very large DVD, Blu-ray, whatever catalog, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit.
You can legally have those movies on Plex because you paid for them. Doesn't matter where you get them. Or, you know, you could rip them off the discs that you have and then put them on Plex. And then Plex is its own app in which it's looking to a place where you have those files, and you can watch it on your phone, on your TV, on your smart TV, on someone else's smart TV.
Amazing. You can essentially make your own streaming service with it, from what all I've seen.
Yes. And I've gone so far to make my own television channels.
I remember you talking about that before. I remember you said you made one for your family. That was really
cool. I did that. I've gone even further. I got like 28 channels on that. I got a horror channel. I got like my own picks channel. And I got probably 5 to 6 people who are on it that are like, they're giving up their streaming services just to watch what I have. So I have like a server here too with everything. So I got like, I don't know, 26 terabytes of data just sitting there.
Okay,
just movies.
Up.
Yeah.
We're going to hit you up. We're going to get on that streaming service.
We can make our own Jackass channel now that Pluto took away. Pluto gave us the Jackass channel and then took it away
from
us. And
we can have all of the .5s.
So I have an MTV channel that I made that's playing the Osbournes, Jackass, Wild Boys, all the old stuff just constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I have it. It's all on Plex, so you could just play it whenever you want. But then also, like I said, I got the live TV channel, so if you're just... I don't know what to watch. Just watch a channel. Boom, you're in it.
All right. So, Scary Movie was written by Sean Wayans, Marlon Wayans, Buddy Johnson, Phil Bowman, and Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. Directed by Keenan Wayans. Music by David Kate. And special effects done by Flesh and Fantasy Inc.
That is what a fun name for
Flesh
a
and
special
Fantasy?
Effects company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting it to be a little bit more brutal name, like Flesh and Fantasy. Like, it seems a little bit too whimsical. But they're doing like horror movie effects.
Potentially pornographic.
Oh, shit. You're right. Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah. Flesh and Fantasy. Oh, my God. You're right. It does sound like it could be a porno. Okay. So I've got our cast.
All right.
And I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to read the name of the character and what character they're spoofing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So... first off, we have Anna Faris, who is playing Anna Farts, if you will, playing Cindy Campbell, which obviously she's Sidney Prescott, and Julie James from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm.
John Abrahams as Bobby Prinz, who is Billy Loomis, and Ray from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay, Freddie Prinze Jr. That's where the Prince comes from.
Uh-huh, yeah. Marlon Wayans as Shorty Meeks. As Randy Meeks. I love the fact that he's our Randy.
Yeah.
Damn, son.
So yeah, it's so great.
When he gets shot in the lung, he's like, you want to hit this? It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's so good. He's one of my favorite characters. Regina Hall is Brenda Meeks, who is Brandy from I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and Maureen Evans from Scream 2, which that's Jada Pinkett Smith's character.
Okay.
Sean Wayans as Ray Wilkins. He's the Stu Mocker. And Phil Stevens. Phil Stevens is Scream 2. I don't remember which character that is.
That's
the dude from the opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Shannon Elizabeth, Buffy Gilmore. She is Helen Shivers from I Know What You Did Last Summer,
AKA
and Tatum.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, a.k.a. Buffy.
Yeah. Lachlan Monroe as Greg Philippe. He is
Philippi. Like Ryan Philippi.
Ryan Oh, Greg Philbin.
Yeah.
Right,
boom.
It just That's right. Well, here it is. Yeah, he's Barry Cox. Ryan Philbin.
Yeah, Barry Cox. Because, you know, he's got a small cock.
Dave Sheridan is Doofy, Gilmore, and the Killer, which, you know, he's Dewey and mm-hmm. Ghostface, and also the Fisherman.
Yeah.
Sherry Ottery as Gail Hellstorm.
Sherry
Oteri.
Oteri? Yeah.
I don't okay.
Sherry Oteri, yep.
Is that really how her name goes? Sherry Oteri?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably a stage name because she's, you know, famously on SNL for forever.
Yeah. I thought she looked familiar.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like she does the best job in this movie. Yeah. She's great. Like being serious, but at the same time, obviously not.
Oh, we watched the behind the scenes and she fucking knew what this was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's...
Well, she's Gail Weathers, obviously. And that's it.
Okay.
That's all I got for the cast.
Cool.
All right. Time for our favorite game on the show, everybody.
Budget or budget.
All right. So, guys, do you guys think it's budget, which is $10 million or above, or Bughead, which is below that?
I think this particular movie at this particular time with this particular set of people, I think it's going to be Bughead.
Bughead?
Hi, Bughead.
Hi, Bughead.
But okay. Still Bughead.
Steve, what's your guess?
So this is the budget of the movie or what it made? I can never remember.
The budget. Yeah. So do you think it was like over $10 million or under $10
million? Oh, man. That's a hard one because, like, you're right. Like, nobody really knew these people at this point in time. But mm-hmm. the Wayans brothers were, I mean, kind of huge.
But they just got canceled. They made a joke yeah. about it in the movie.
Yeah, I know that. But, I mean, yeah, because you're taking a chance now. Like, all right, well, you know... I think it's going to be over 10, honestly.
Over 10?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Steve's but not a lot.
Oh, okay.
What is it? Was it like 25?
It's 19 million.
Oh, okay. Holy shit, really?
Yeah, I know. I was shocked at this budget, too. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Well, there is a lot of actors in this movie, let's be real, right?
That's
true. There's a lot of people here. It's not like they're doing a lot with regards to like different scenery or, you know, different places, but they still have to kind of make those scenes look like other movies, right?
Yeah, they do a good job too. Like it looks a lot like the movies that they're making fun of.
Yeah,
the garage looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
The house,
yeah,
pretty close.
Didn't you mentioned on one of our past episodes that I think it was Saw that they had to use one of the Scary Movie sets.
Yeah,
for...
Scary Movie 4 with, is it 4, the one with Dr. Phil?
Yeah,
in the beginning? They used that bathroom for one of the Saw movies because the set was so close.
Yeah, I guess that they have like a track record of that.
That's good then. Yeah, I mean, obviously getting to Scary Movie 4, though, they're obviously bigger budgets and doing more stuff. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny looking at this movie, you're like, you look like it's like made for nothing, but in reality, yeah, that's a pretty big chunk of change for this type of movie. And then, like you said, with the Wayans brothers being canceled, whatever you want to call it back then, somebody's going, all right, we'll give you another chance.
I think this is actually more money than Predator had, like for its entire movie, yeah, which is insane.
And they didn't even have Bubbies getting up and working out early in the morning.
Yeah, they just had the fucking jungle over there.
Just lifting trees, man.
All right, box office for this opening weekend. $42 million.
Okay.
Worldwide
gross.
Jesus
Christ! Hold on
a
second.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I know, right? $42 million, especially for something like that hasn't been established yet. Like this is like, I can't even like. I know that spoofs were a thing back then, but I feel like this is like a new type.
Hold on. This was the first real spoof that I mean. Yeah, you got Airplane and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but this was like the first like mainstream for this demographic spoof.
Yeah.
And before it, normally these movies like. A couple weeks later, people are going on like, oh, dude, you got to go see this. And then it picks up steam. Opening with $42 million.
Yeah.
That's like giant box office, like, bangers.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, like, when this came out. I mean, I was a kid, but I still remember, like, being excited for it. And I feel like...
I remember my neighbor, who is this kind little German lady who would babysit me often... she was doing a date night, so my mom was watching her daughter, and I asked what they were going to go see, and she said, Scary Movie, and I said, which one? She goes, no, it's Scary Movie, and I was like, I get it, my mom won't let me watch it, what's the movie called? And she was like, it's called Scary Movie,
it's
and I was
very
like,
much
oh,
my car.
Yeah.
Dude, sweet.
But what does mine say?
Yeah.
It's funny, I remember going to see this in theaters with my mom.
Oh,
just me and her. And think about that for a second. I was probably, so this came out, what, 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12. So that was a fun conversation for most of the movie.
Did you get the stuff back then?
Oh, hell no. Okay. I mean, I think there was, you know, some jokes you're just like, oh, that's funny. And then realizing, like, I don't know, years later, like, I was there with my mom?
Yeah. Okay, worldwide grosses is also pretty impressive. It made $278 million.
Jesus Gee, H.
Wow. Mm-hmm. No wonder why they went, we're making another one.
Like, yeah.
Now.
And IMDb score is 6.3 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, almost 6.9.
Oh, dude, that would have been perfect for this.
I know, for this movie, yeah.
Okay, so I've got three movies from 2000, and they all are related in some way, so we'll get into the relations for that. So the first one, though, is Shriek If You Know What I Did Last Friday mm-hmm. the 13th.
Okay.
Which,
are we guessing what the what's the connection is?
That right there? Yeah. I mean, it's pretty... Well, no, you don't have to guess. But
Carmen Electra is in both of them, right?
Is she?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, shit. I've never seen this one.
That,
like, if I'm being honest.
It's, like, obvious. It's another spoof.
Yeah, I feel like this is probably the same thing where, like, another studio catches wind of the spoof and then they try and do it the same year and try and, you know, catch that
wave.
Oh,
I'm wrong. That's actually Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's, like, the same exact
thing. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
It premiered on TV back in October 17th, 2000. It had a $5 million budget. Don't have a gross on it, and the IMDb is 3.9 out of 10.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like one of those that these things are. We've said it before: to do dumb humor, you have to be smart.
Yes,
and a lot of these spoof movies miss that.
Yeah. We'll get into some of those here in a second. all right, the next one, Scream 3, that released. February 4th, 2000, with a $40 million budget.
My lawyer liked that.
Oh, God. I love her character so much.
I love her.
worldwide gross made considerably less than Scary Movie, $161 million.
That's still pretty good, though. It's still really good.
Yeah.
I can't believe Scary Movie beat it by over $100 million, though.
I can, but...
I can, too. I mean, you got to think it's the mainstay people who are, like, going to see those movies are still seeing them, but then the people who...
It always drops off.
Yeah, they're just like, ah, this is shit.
That's fair. 5.6 IMDb score. I think it's getting a little bit more respect as time goes on.
Yeah.
It's slowly getting up there.
I feel like that's a higher rating
than when we covered it.
I feel like
initially.
It is, too.
Three's the one where they do the ring stuff, right?
We're talking about Scream 3.
Oh, Scream 3. Shit, yeah. My bad. I thought you said Scary Movie 3.
No, Scary Movie 3 is great. I love that.
Yeah,
one.
Scary Movie 3 is the one with the ring stuff, and she's constantly forgetting her
nephew.
Scream
Scream 3 is the one where they're in college.
Scream 3 is the one where they're in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's got Parker Posey.
Oh, right, yeah, Parker Posey, and then, Leia's in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember now. Sorry.
Okay.
It's early in the morning, guys. My brain's just not working.
You're good.
Feel that.
okay, final movie from 2000, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh.
The relationship between that one. Do you want to guess?
Okay, hold on. Give me a second.
I'll see if you want me to.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Damon Wayans is in it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We haven't watched that movie in like 11 years. Travis.
I know. It's been a long time.
You don't need to watch it.
no, dude. Yeah. One or two watches is pretty good for that.
Yeah. You feel dirty after that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis was like, this is my favorite movie. So we rented it from Hastings, or I bought it for you as a gift or something. And he goes, this is my second time watching it. I was like, it's your favorite movie and you've only seen it once. And then I watched it and I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I completely understand that. We had. An earlier host we had on our show, The Decision Reel, plug. The first like 30 or so episodes we had this guy on. I won't say his name, but if you listen to any episodes back, you'll know his name. He always said, like, oh, dude, that movie's not that bad. I'd watch it every week. And I'm like, are we talking about the same movie here? And he's like, yeah, Requiem for a Dream. You know, the ass to ass scene? That was awesome. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I think you're missing the point of the movie, guy.
Yeah.
And the
I think
point
you're
of
only
that
watching
scene,
right.
Actually.
I thought it was really creepy when the fridge came to life.
Right. And he's like, no, it was great.
Did
that
you
movie...
do squeezy jibs?
Yeah. damn, that's fucked up. That was like the psychopath on your show there for a minute.
Yeah, he drinks milk.
Yeah, he probably does. Real milk. Ew.
Shit. Okay. Yeah. Requiem for a Dream. That came out December 15th, 2000. $4.5 million budget. $7 million gross. 8.3 IMDb score.
Damn.
It's a really good movie, but yeah. Okay. I've got taglines.
Okay.
All right. So the tagline that's on the poster. No mercy, no shame, no sequel.
And I love how in later editions that's
crossed off. I think that they started printing that on the covers after the fact. Yeah, because it's like,
The second movie, the poster when it came out just said, "We lied."
Ah, that's awesome. I love it. Okay, next is a killer comedy.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what it is. Yeah.
Look, the rest of these are not very good. Okay, I'm going to just be real. They're just very much like, it's a comedy. So next one, obey the rules or die laughing.
I mean, there are no rules.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah, I know.
It's a wink and a nod to Scream. And
oh, shit, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Dude, they didn't even review rules in this movie. Now that I'm thinking
about it. I
was
going to say, yeah. Like,
Shorty
there's no...
was... occupied.
I want to see
son.
No. They denied us a scene of him going through the rules, and I feel like that would have been amazing.
Yeah, because he would have just been like, what?
Yeah.
Well, and there's a deleted scene where he's like blatantly ignoring the rules.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, he would have been the one to do it.
All right. Final tagline. Funny as hell.
Nah, boop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. If there was like a demonic kind of thing in it, then all right. But no.
Okay. So, fun facts.
Yay.
All right. So, I figured I'd start this thing off by covering all of the films parodied in this movie.
Okay.
So, the first film we have, I Know What You Did Last Summer,
yeah,
which is one of the main parodies that's going on throughout the entire film. Followed by that, we have Scream, Scream 2, and Scream 3. We have The Sixth Sense, just from that one scene of Shorty saying, "I see dead people." Blair Witch Project. That's Gail Hellstorm doing her little running away.
Runs out.
She has the drippy nose.
Drippy. Come on. It's just flowing.
Yeah. It's so nasty.
It's hilarious.
We have Halloween, which I was reading. There was at one point in the script, if Jamie Lee Curtis were to agree to it, she would have had a cameo where Cindy's running through the house and she tries to go in a closet and she finds Laurie Strode in the closet just hiding.
That's
but they weren't able to do it.
I wish they would have had a Loomis stand-in at some point.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Because it would be so easy to spoof that fucker.
Yeah, yeah. He's already kind of like you'd
he's
have
already
to play
a
him.
Caricature.
Yeah, you have to play it pretty much straight. Friday the 13th for the...
What was it that the caption said?
Didn't you write it down?
God, I did write it down somewhere. It was like... Oh, God, it was fantastic. It was like, make sound that harkens... Oh, here it is. Mimics electronic sound that heralds killer's appearance.
Yeah. I feel like that was probably like written in the script.
That was my favorite.
We have The Shining, where the killer says red rum. We have The Matrix, which I feel like every movie around this time was making fun of that scene.
Yeah.
The Usual Suspects, which is the ending.
Yeah.
I never put that together.
I put it in my notes. I said Doofy is Kaiser Soze.
Yep.
I mean, he is.
We have Psycho. Bobby references Norman Bates with "We All Go Crazy Sometimes,"
which that's also a reference to Scream.
Billy Loomis. Yeah, and finally we have Candyman, where Ray tells Cindy that she branded Bobby the Candyman after Bobby was released from jail.
Again, I'm pretty sure that's a reference to Scream, because I think Stu says the same thing to Sydney.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Like, yeah, he's heartbroken. You branded him the Candyman.
Oh shit, you're right. Yeah. Well. There we go. What's up? All right. So the original screenplay, it was developed by the Wayans Bros. They brought their whole team from the Wayans Bros. Show to do this. So that's Sean Wayans, Marlon Wayans, Buddy Johnson, and Phil Bowman. At the same time, Miramax was also working on another spoof of this series with Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. If those guys sound familiar, they are the people that are responsible for the movies like Date Movie. I think Meet the Spartans, superhero movie, all those.
I'm going to be honest, they're the weaker portion of this team.
Yeah, and funny thing is, they only get the credit on here by like a technicality. I think it's like the WGA forces them to have it because they merged the two working together.
Yeah, they did. I guess I think if you do enough work on the script, you get a writing credit automatically.
Yes. Well, the thing is, they brought the script. So like they're gone. They're out of the equation. It's just the Wayans Bros working on this now. And they brought the script to Keenan and he reviewed what they had brought together. And he's like, yeah, we're not using any of this. Like they trashed it. He's like, yeah, this sucks.
Well, they talked about it a little bit in the behind the scenes about like, you can't go for the obvious joke or the joke that's already been done. You have to like punch it up.
Yeah. I like their approach with it. Yeah. Like they were like, yeah, you got like, they got like real deep and layered with how they were talking about how they approached
that's
it.
What, that's probably why they didn't put too much work into the taglines. They spent all their energy punching up all their script jokes.
Probably.
Well, you got to also think this movie, what we talked about earlier, of the other movies or the other spoof movies not being very well written. This is actually very well written. Like there's a major story that's happening, which yeah, is lifted from Scream.
Yeah.
But it's still cohesive and it's not just scenes of dumb shit after dumb shit. It all actually makes sense and works.
Well, I think, and that's literally what he was saying. He was like, not only do you have to do the jokes and it has to be funny, but you have to also have a story because you're doing a movie. You're telling a story.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I'd argue like it's pretty difficult to like spoof that movie without it just being blatant retreadings of exactly what you saw in that movie. And then 100%. Also, yeah, like making it funny and making it fresh too. Like it takes a lot of work to do that.
You have to be smart to do stupid humor.
Yes.
So the names of those movies before they merged, by the way, the Wayans Bros were working on Last Summer I Screamed Because Halloween Fell on Friday the 13th.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And Friedberg and Seltzer's movie was called Scream If You Know What I Did Last Halloween.
Okay.
So they just merged them together, and I like that they simplified it and just made it a scary movie.
I appreciate that, and that also makes the sequels easier.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Because you don't have to, like, make it whatever movie you're parodying this time.
And then they kind of stole that bit when they did the other ones, like the epic movie, date movie.
Earlier script, the killer was actually going to reveal to be Damon Wayans. His motivation was going to be that his brothers left him out of the movie. So he wanted to be a part of it.
That's why he did the Amistad 2 or whatever, right?
Yeah. The reason that he didn't make it in this is because of scheduling conflicts. So they had to make it somebody completely different. So they had to rewrite it. But I would have liked that. I think that would have been really funny.
That would have been really funny.
But we're in a good timeline because it gave us Doofy.
Yeah. Well, and Dave Sheridan is so fucking hilarious, and he still leans into this character 24 years later. Mm-hmm. We've seen him at, I think, every convention we've ever been to. He's
seriously
there.
Yeah.
And Bragg, I was in a movie with him. And he's just, we did so many like run-throughs of the scene I was in, and he did something different every time. And of course, Felissa Rose is there, and they're best friends. And it was just so almost impossible to keep a straight face, but he loves pulling out that Doofy character. He has so much fun with it. We have a signed picture from him that says, "I go poopy, it was good." It's like right above my head right now.
I just remember our first time at Scarefest, and we were waiting in line to see Felissa, and he just like got out of his booth and came up to talk to us about dogs.
yeah he what was it, we had something that prompted him to want to talk about his dogs with us. I forget exactly what it was.
I think he was talking about when he wears like when he puts something on, his dog goes crazy or something.
I don't remember, but yeah, he's a hilarious guy, and he's definitely one of those that he is fine with this being the thing that people knows him for.
Absolutely,
and I always respect somebody that's like, yeah, you know, I do. And he's got a huge filmography, but this is definitely the thing people know Dave Sheridan for.
Hey, and you know what? Steer into it, man. Like,
absolutely,
if that's what it's gonna be. Fuck it.
Okay, so that's it for fun facts. So it's time for us to get into our good, bad, ugly, and absurd. Let's start with the good, Jesse.
I mean, the Wayans brothers are just, they're so fucking funny. And you can tell that they, like I said, smart funny. I'm going to say about like 85% of the jokes still land for me. And it's because they went with the simple formula. You know what's funny? Farts.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
We start off
boners.
With a fart,
like, it's good. They play into the tropes. And I think generally it works really well the way they do it. And you can't ignore what a huge cultural impact this movie has had on everybody because, I mean, obviously, Scream is one of my favorite movies of all time. And there are still some times where, like, I get a little bit mixed up of, like, oh, no, wait, that's actually a Scary Movie. That's not Scream. Like, the drug dealing thing, in my head, Sidney Prescott's dad does shady shit. Like, he sells drugs. That's ever, like, remove that connection in my head. Also,
her family's kind of tragic, so it would make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like... You know, talking about Ring, I always forget that that's her actual son because I'm so convinced it's her, like, adopted nephew from Scary Movie 3. Like, you just can't ignore the cultural impact. Like I said, huge Dave Sheridan fan. I'm a huge Anna Faris fan. She's fucking hilarious. If you haven't seen The House Bunny, watch that.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
That script was written specifically for her.
Oh, really?
Yes. She's amazing. So yeah, it's pretty much always a good time. So
cool. Steve, what do you like about this one?
I mean, where to start? Like, the whole movie, like I said, is geniusly written. It's actually oddly well acted too. Like, Anna Faris.
That's what I was gonna say.
Really good. Like, she's terrible, but on purpose, right? Like, all of the even Shannon Elizabeth in this, she's not a great actress to me in most of the things she does, but the scene where she's getting killed, she's doing good in it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
I need to say real quick, I have so much love for the Wayans brothers for killing her in a bathroom.
Yeah,
Shannon Elizabeth must be in bathrooms.
Three for three. Yeah. Three movies we've covered on this show and she's been in a bathroom.
Well, you know, when you're good at dying in bathrooms. I
think she did a really good job in that scene where she sees Bobby getting killed and, like, everybody's
she's just screaming, like, why don't anybody believe me, and then everyone's like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, it's so
it's
good.
It's a great joke too, but she's great in it. Like, even everybody else is really good. Like, I don't think there's a bad person that takes you out of the movie, like, that's acting so bad that they're phoning it in, or it's just like, even Sherry O'Terry is killing it every second she's on screen. Obviously, again, SNL alumni being amazing over there and doing, like, the same shit here, it's still great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And Brenda Meeks is one of the best characters to come out of this franchise. Yeah. I fucking love her so much. Brenda and Shorty.
Yeah.
I would watch anything with the two of them in it.
Cindy! Yeah, the second movie... she shines the best to me, but she's great in this too, because she really doesn't have a lot to do in this movie, but when she's on screen, she's great.
I pretty much echo a lot of what you guys said too. I think another thing that I really enjoy about this movie is it still keeps, like, the horror aspects to it too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still a fun horror movie to watch. They have like straight up slashing. It's repeating beats from Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I still enjoy watching it, and I like having that, like, funny little spin on the scenes too, like
the giant popcorn at the
beginning. Oh my god, I love that. That's one of my favorite running jokes in all of the things. Like, it reminded me of Scary Movie 3 where the hat keeps getting bigger each time you look at it. It's just, like, I love absurd humor like that, and I like, I'm a fan of lowbrow humor, especially whenever it's done well. And, like, I feel like these guys kill it with that type of stuff here.
Well, let's look at the entire first scene, the opening of the movie, which is exactly a ripoff of Scream, right? The first Scream.
Yeah.
But it's done so well that you wouldn't really know until they start making jokes that we're in a spoof movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even Carmen Electra's a big get at this point, right? And they're making some very funny jokes at that point. In, like, if you didn't know, or, you know, you're watching this for the first time nowadays, you're not going to get when they're talking about, like, her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they're talking about Dennis Rodman, and you're expecting to see Dennis Rodman on the chair, but it's Prince.
Yeah.
And there was a huge thing in the news about that. And then she's like, oh, I just fucked him a couple times. You know, he's not my boyfriend. Like, and you're like, oh, my God. Yeah. It's fucking funny if you know the backstory. Obviously, most people are not going to get that nowadays, or they might not even have got it then. But if you look at the scene in Scream and you look at that scene, same, like, scene, right? But they're doing it for laughs in a way that's a very smart and edgy type of way that I don't think you get in movies today.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because they have, like, a mix of, like, timeless, like, good comedy bits in this, and they also have some stuff that's, like, really dated.
Yeah, I you know what? It's it's the trio of them writing, right? All the Wayans brothers are making this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you might have one guy who's doing all the smart ones, one guy who's doing all the dick and fart jokes, and one guy that's doing all the, like, eh, this might be funny, you know? Because let's look at Damon Wayans, Marlon Wayans movies afterwards. He did, what, A Haunted House? He did I can't remember the movie.
He did, like, the White Chicks movie.
Which is, he did it with his brother too, but I'm trying to figure out who was writing those. But after that, when he's kind of split away and it was just him, those movies are the more kind of movies where you're not getting the good written jokes. You're getting the easy lowbrow jokes. Mm. So I feel like that's probably him in this movie making all that.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess it takes a team. They probably need to come together for it to actually be something special, huh? I guess that's a good segue for us to go into our bad. So, like, what is bad about this movie then, Jesse?
You know, I do think sometimes, like, maybe having a little bit more of those peaks and valleys. You know, we say it all the time that, like, that's what makes a good horror movie. And we also say all the time that that's what makes a good comedy.
Yeah.
Is knowing the timing and everything. And I feel like this is a movie that just kind of, like, keeps coming at you.
Yeah, it does.
So it might have been nice to have a little bit more of that.
Like a little bit of like time to breathe and have like a joke after joke after joke. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got you. Shit, man. Like, this is a tough one to think of anything bad for. It's hard to criticize.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can sit here and say, yeah, some of the jokes suck.
Yeah.
But when you're having a movie that has so many jokes, some of them aren't going to land. Right. Yeah. Or, hey, it landed then when the movie came out, but now you're kind of like, well, that doesn't really work that much anymore, or it's not as funny, or it's dated. You know, the "what's up" joke, which is hilarious. I mean, it was a very specific point in time that if you weren't seeing those Budweiser, you're not gonna fucking know. But also, it's funny,
dude. I didn't know that that's what that was ripping off until Jesse told me a year
ago.
Then
we went on a rabbit hole of watching all of the commercials that get spoofed.
They're great,
they're
great.
It made me appreciate that. Oh, they're smoking Bud,
and it's like set up like the way they're like,
I didn't even think about
that.
They're smoking Budweiser. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like it's set up perfectly. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. God, we're just talking about good stuff for this.
Well, like, think about it. What is really bad in this movie? What makes this movie, like, if someone watched it, they were like, oh, this sucks. Obviously, a certain kind of person needs to watch this, right?
Yeah.
If you're a person who wants to see the best cinematic masterpieces and you don't like dick and fart jokes, you're going to think
this is terrible.
Pretty much it, yeah. Like, I mean, it's just kind of like a subjective thing. Like, if this humor doesn't land for you, that's pretty much going to be That's what will determine if it's bad. Like, yeah, nobody's expecting a high profile, like high quality set pieces and shit like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't want to know you if you're that person who doesn't like this movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, dick and fork jokes. Come on.
So good. Always good. Okay. Ugly. What is ugly about this movie?
I'm going to go with, like, the transphobic jokes.
Yeah.
Those, and I get that, like, it was seen as edgy back then, but it also wasn't funny then. It's not funny now. It's not cool. I think my brain...
The Miss Man stuff?
Yeah.
My brain blocks it out every single time. Mm-hmm. And every single time it happens, I'm like, fuck, I have to watch this again. If I could have an edit of this where that's just cut out completely... Take out the Miss Man scene and replace it with that cut scene of Shorty and that girl having sex with the guns.
Yeah.
Like, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay, the only part that makes me laugh, and again, it's a dick and fart joke, when she just opens their legs and the ball sack just falls out. I don't know. It's just the way it does it. It makes me chuckle a little bit, but I agree that it's not a good joke now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just.
But I still go, oh, god damn it. Like, here it comes. You know what I mean? But again, it might be because I did see this with my mother in theaters, and she's sitting beside me, and I'm going, what the fuck is happening?
See, and here's the thing. If I need my fill of dude's balls falling out, I'm going to go watch Jackass 2.
That's
I'm
true.
Gonna, okay. I'm going to watch
Touché.
Johnny
and,
Knoxville
and no...
with his prosthetic balls hanging out of his booty shorts. Yeah. That's what I'm going to go do. And then that's also, like, that's good dick humor.
And there's no underlying other message
bigotry.
There. It's just a bunch of dudes getting shot in the balls with stuff.
Dude, yeah. I would like to meet the person that finds the deeper meaning within Jackass.
a bunch of dudes doing anything to be famous.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what it was.
That's the deepest meaning. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I think we pretty easily covered the ugly right there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Absurd.
Ugh.
All right. What are absurd things about this movie? I mean, the whole movie is absurd.
The whole movie.
The thing that I had written down was the popcorn getting bigger at the beginning. Okay. Like, that was just like one of those funny visual jokes that just lands for me.
This is, okay, so this, I guess, is really the absurd from the movie. It's spoofing, but I got so excited watching her throw the bicycle at the killer when she's on the stairs. I was like, scream two, scream two, scream two! Like, because it is
I also
so
like
stupid.
When she throws the piano down and he turns to run away.
I love
it looks
that.
So Looney Tunes.
Yeah. The physical it's acting great. Like that is great, yeah. Like that, that's Dave Sheridan doing that too, right?
I think
he plays the killer, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Well, so... let's break this down real quick. In the whole movie, the killer is him. It's Doofy. Yeah. It's not the other two guys because they just do that at the end. Like, oh, we're copying the guy who's already killing people like this. So if you want to break it down as a real movie, because it is a real movie, there's only one qualm I have, and I forgot to mention it about the bad. It's not bad. It's just this movie's fucking stupid, so it shouldn't matter. If Doofy was really mentally challenged and his mother knew that and had him, but he's not mentally challenged... how does that work? She would know he's not Doofy.
You know what? Yeah. Wait, would they know? Doesn't that some can that like be like a thing that develops later? Something like that.
He's not going to be born and be a perfectly fine human being until one day he just starts being Doofy, right?
I never.
But also, it's a movie that's stupid.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, and that's the joke. But that's me being a cinephile going, this doesn't work.
Trying to find a deeper meaning, like Jackass.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just one of those things you just kind of have to, like, roll with it. Like, it's like watching the Saw movies, like, how the fuck does this trap even happen? How does this even make sense? I mean, it's just
see,
like, it's just a fucking movie.
Here's the thing with this, too, is that I don't even necessarily see it as any kind of a mental challenge with him. I just see it as an over-exaggerated spoof of...
Dewey,
yeah, because Dewey in the first one, he's, like, young and naive and... how do you know that's not a persona I put on so that way people let their guards down?
Oh, shit. Yeah. What? That's
and,
like the
and
whole
that's
thing.
The same,
yeah.
That's the same thing where, like, the transphobic jokes don't work for me, but, like, Ray, like, having all of these, like...
the gay things.
The gay moments. Oh, yeah. It's because in the original, like, there is a homoerotic storyline between Billy and Stu. Mm-hmm. So that is picking on that trope and magnifying it. You know,
right.
It's
and then when
it.
They have the... yeah, when they have the thing at the end where they're just like, well, we went... we had that nice date. He's like, yeah, I wanted to go shopping. Yeah. He's like, yeah, but you did all that stuff. And he's like, you suck. My, I ain't gay. Like, and it works because you're like, again, what you said, it is playing off of the other movie and it's being written smartly. Right?
Yeah.
It's not a stupid ball gag joke. You know, look at that. His balls fell out. It's not that. It's literally him being like, yo, this dude's obviously
gay, like this,
but
was
he doesn't
want
to be gay.
There was this underlying storyline between Billy and Stu in the movie that we're spoofing, and we're just going to be very obvious with it. And that's how I've always read the character of Doofy.
Yeah,
just being amplified Dewey.
You know?
Oh yeah, that's exactly. They saw Dewey, and they're like, "Well, this dude's gonna be mentally challenged when we make fun of him."
I guess like the final absurd thing is like I think it's kind of funny that. What we're parodying here is mostly Kevin Williamson.
Like, oh my 100%. God, it really is. Because
there's the two main movies that he wrote, and then the character. Yeah, I mean, 100%.
Well, also, he wrote Scream 2 also. So.
Yeah, and 3. Well, kind of. Well, not really.
That was harsh feelings there.
Yeah. Well, it's just funny. Like, I think that's just like a way to show how much he owned the 90s slasher scene.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Kevin Williams.
It really is when you think about it. Yeah, like he just did whatever he wanted.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Oh, Halloween, he did Halloween H2O. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious.
Which also came out before this shit.
I want to go look up and see what his reaction is to Scary Movie.
I would love to see.
There's no
what he thinks about it.
You would have to think, unless he's a very narcissistic. I can't say the word. Say it.
Narcissistic.
Thank you. Type of person, he's not going to be like, yo, this is awesome, and this is an ode to me, really, and this is great.
Yeah.
But if he was, he'd be like, fuck these guys. This is not funny.
Okay, let's give it a rating out of 10. So, Jesse, what is your rating?
875.
Wow,
8.7. Steve.
Let me think here. I do love this movie. This is the best of the scary movies. I love Scary Movie 2 just because it like is so different, but yet it's still kind of the same.
Scary Movie 2 has Tim Curry, so that's
also David Cross.
And David Cross.
And what was the big guy who played the ghost? He just recently died a little bit. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
I forget his name too.
Doesn't matter. It's got a lot going for it.
Chris Elliott's in it.
Yeah. Let me use my strong hand. it's great, but that one I feel like is where they got goofy with it.
Yeah.
Right? Where this is, it still feels like a real movie, mm-hmm. and it's not an over-the-top just farce on things. So, oh man, this is a hard one. Like, I want to give it a super high score, but I 7.5.
Okay, 7. That's good.
But that's huge for me. Like, that's a big, I know, for this type of movie.
You take it very serious. Yeah. I know that you take your ratings very seriously. We're very much like, oh my God, I'm riding the high, the emotional high.
My gut feeling says this.
That's why I'm throwing a 9 out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I fucking love this movie, man. This movie, this type of like a movie really shaped my humor as a kid, because I remember watching this and just like having a fun time. It was just so good.
All right. We have a starting average. We have a starting average of 8.42.
8.42. Wow. Okay. That's really high.
That's pretty good.
Suck it, IMDb. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, are we ready to jump into this?
I'd say so.
Okay.
We start off out exterior shot of a house. Phone rings. A young blonde woman, a well known actress of the time,
Carmen
answers.
Electra. Yes.
It's a call from a rando. It's very much meeting the same beats as the original Scream. Like, what's your name? I want to know who I'm looking at. Except then we cut to he's looking at like a Playboy magazine.
Yeah. I like how he's like, what's your favorite scary movie? And she's like, Kazam. She's like, yeah, that's a movie with Shaq, right? And she's like, have you seen Shaq act?
Which, honestly,
I want to see your insides.
That feels kind of like a little nod to Randy Meeks. What's your favorite scary movie? Showgirls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't even think of that.
He tells her, this is the same beats as Scream, like, I got your boyfriend outside. She turns the lights on. It's Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Answers the door, and she takes a bat to them, and it's a bunch of trick-or-treaters.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I hate to nitpick this, but the parents would be there because she's out in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. Like,
I know, yeah.
That's a you drive to the houses type of situation. Yeah. Not like you can go free in the neighborhood.
Unless they dropped them off at the end of their driveway and they walked down.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah.
Putting logic out there.
But since the killer has broken into the back door of the house, she needs to get a weapon, and she's got a choice between various guns and knives, and making the smart choice, if you ask me, she picks up the banana.
Yeah. It's like Mario Kart shit right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. She just played a lot of Mario Kart. Yeah. She was like, and she's also seen Scream and knows Ghostface is going to Ghostface, which means Ghostface is going to fall down.
He fall down a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, probably less than in Scream movies.
I think you're right. I think they did it one time to like make it known, like, okay, like, here's the thing. This is what happens with Ghostface all the time.
And I love it. Like, as she's going through, like, she's got signs, safety, death, and she runs towards death. She trips and falls into a chalk outline. She runs through the sprinklers. Ghostface comes up behind her and stabs her in the chest, but gets her implant, so she keeps running. She sees her dad's car, and she's like, Daddy! And dad's otherwise distracted.
You're getting some roadhead.
What was that? Nothing.
Just like runs her over.
Yep.
Which, I can't believe they got away with doing that joke twice in the same movie.
Holy shit, they did, didn't they? Yeah. Wait, no, they did it in
it
the
bookends,
next one.
Doesn't that?
No,
not,
they do
no,
it in this one because that's their whole "I know what you did last summer" bit.
Oh,
when
shit,
they hit
you're
the
right.
Yeah, when they hit David Keegan.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, she's dead. They kill her there. I can't remember. Do they actually? He doesn't like do the whole stringing her up thing like they do in Scream.
No,
right?
No,
yeah.
They didn't. No.
Okay. All right. So now we cut over to Cindy in her bedroom. She's over there on her computer, and then we get Bobby breaking in. He's going full Billy.
Yeah.
Her dad comes in. He's kind of given us the whole rundown of his sketchy path.
So I think it's also good for us to point out like the other horror movies that these people are involved in that we have so much fun with. And Bobby's actor, we know him on this show from House of Wax. Mm-hmm. He is the friend of the brother, Chad Michael Murray's friend,
who the guy that wears
is wearing five shirts yeah. and doesn't give his sister a single shirt. So Chad Michael Murray has to give his only shirt to her.
Wasn't he in something else too?
Meet the Parents.
Oh, that's right. Meet the Parents, yeah. Okay, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's Danny. He's the pothead.
Yeah. I'm down with little Kim. She's fat. PH. Fat.
I love how in this scene he is straight up reading Billy's line about he was watching The Exorcist and it got him horny, and it's like they didn't even need to exaggerate that line, like just saying that, it's like, this is fucking ridiculous, this guy watched The Exorcist and got horny.
I mean, and that's really like what happened with Billy.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. So yeah, they're just like hitting the same pieces of that. Like the dad comes in there, he's leaving for the weekend, warn Cindy, the cops come, hide his drugs, all that shit.
Remember if anybody comes to buy, you cut it with baking soda, baking powder. They'll have muffins coming out of their nose.
What the fuck is his name in this
Bobby.
Movie? Bobby. Okay, whenever it's so, I'm gonna get mixed
she
up.
She does.
A lot.
Will you settle for PG-13 and does like the flashing
it's
thing?
It's men boobs, though.
Did you find out whose tummy that was?
No, I didn't.
Asked you to look that up specifically.
No, I looked around.
What if it's her dad's?
Oh my god, dude, that would be nasty.
I love that because I threaten all the time to Travis that there's like this one piece swimsuit and it's like a man's hairy belly, and I threaten to
oh yeah I've seen those yeah, yeah do it do it
don't encourage it Steve
it's, do it
don't please do not.
How funny would it be if you just go into the public pool, right, but no one you know you're wrapped up a little bit and you just go in the pool with that? People are going to give you a lot of double takes.
Exactly.
Do you want that?
It's hilarious because there's going to be those couple dudes there who are like, fuck yeah, that's great. And then there's those old people who are like, what's going on here?
I get the old people.
Gladys, let's get out.
I have pink hair. I get old men staring at me all the time.
Oh, I bet. My wife just put a pink. She used to have the like the money pieces or whatever, and she had them blonde, and now she's got them pink. So, yeah, she's getting the same. You young kids out here with your fucking hair.
Yeah.
I like how whenever she asks why he's there. He's like, oh, I just wanted my balls licked.
I just wanted my balls licked.
Just like the
he's
bluntness
so
of that.
Matter of fact about it.
Yeah, I loved it. It made me like die laughing whenever we were watching that. They start to try and have sex, or he does. They're kissing. He goes for the pants, but there's an electric fence there. and then that's when she flashes her man boobs to him. So now we get Shorty and Brenda. They're doing your mother jokes to each other.
Yeah.
She has to remind him that they have the same mom. And he's like, oh, yeah, your father.
Yeah, Brenda meets up with Cindy, and then Buffy's coming to walk with them. And Brenda's like, I just can't stand her. She's so fake. And when she walks up, she goes, hey, girl.
Yeah.
Because that's so, it's so real. Like, you're like, I can't fucking stand this girl. What's up?
Also, bad timing on this right here, but she's talking about how she saw her at a Puff Daddy party.
Yeah, we last night or the night before when we were watching this, we were like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, that's not going to be good.
Getting diddied.
So,
no, she did because she was with a background dancer. She doesn't have any self-respect.
Oh, that's what it was. You're right. I also love how in the background in the parking lot, you can see the coroner's already there just like waiting. Okay, now we get Gail Hellstorm. She's doing the news. There's a kid that keeps trying to interrupt the set, but she takes out a gun, shoots him.
Brenda's like, only the most ignorant people get interviewed. Cut to Shorty. Run, bitch! Run!
I love the bit of all of the news stations, and then it gets to, it's like, Black TV, white folks are dead. We getting out of here. Just like, drive off.
White people are dead. We getting the fuck out of here. Hilarious.
And nobody's gonna call this white on white crime.
No.
It's because black on black crime doesn't exist. It's bullshit. It's a scaremongering term.
Okay. Well, the Sherry O'Terry part when she's just like, one person's dead and that guy's behind her, like, turns around and just shoots him. Two people are dead.
Yeah.
Funny.
So I think, like, are they sitting by the fountain at this point? Sorry, it's been 2 days since we watched it. I can't remember the settings.
No, so Greg is failing. He's stupid. It just says dumbass on his report card. And then
look, you got an A.
Yeah, you got an A. Yeah. Ray is like, you know, tying up his tank top. Bobby is in the trailer.
I like
on
how the trailer's
lawn.
Yeah, like parked
yeah,
right out front.
And he's still always late to class. So this is where they're at the water fountain, and they're talking about, you know, how they killed that guy 1 year ago.
This is where we get the flashback.
Yeah, we get a flashback, and it's very similar to the scene in I Know What You Did Last Summer, except we got the two couples in the back that are drunk and being obnoxious, and Bobby is trying to coerce Cindy into giving him, like, touching it. He's
yeah,
like, just touch it.
Just touch it, yeah.
just touch it.
And Greg does a really good impression of how fucking obnoxious Ryan Phillippe's character is.
Dude,
and we watched I Know What You Did Last Summer right after this, and it's like, man, he really is a fucking asshole.
The dude is so fucking aggressive, and it's so over the top in this movie, but it still pretty much matches that energy.
Yeah. So yeah, basically because of all of that, they end up hitting a guy, and they're like arguing about what to do, and he's it feels very Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Like, I'm not dead yet.
Like, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
What are we gonna do with the body? It's okay.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm alive. And then they just throw the fucking bottle and
hits him right in the head. So Shorty drives by. They have to distract him.
Yeah, he's the Bobby Galecki in the scene.
Yeah. I love how he's just like laughing at them the entire time. He rolls up and it's just like piles of smoke just pouring out of the car.
And then they cut back and they're like, this all feels like something out of a movie anyway. And she goes, yeah, I'd probably be... This is so misogynistic. She's like, I'd probably be played by like Jennifer Love Huge Tits or something.
It's funny though.
Okay, so they take the body to the pier.
Mm-hmm.
They dump him over the edge, and they all make a pact that they're never going to talk about it again. And I remember she's like, talk about what again? He's like, the body. She's like, well, you just fucking mentioned it, Greg.
That's how the real movie needed to go.
I know, yeah. So Doofy meets with Gail. She's trying to, you know, take advantage of him.
He is this many years old? Yeah. 25 and a half?
I think he actually like, does like a good hand signal of 25. She invites him to the van to go and try and seduce him to try and get some more information.
Then we cut to a teacher talking about how they need to let prayer in school. And turns out she's breastfeeding her baby that was fathered by one of the students. So I like that little bit of commentary.
Yeah.
That's pretty
and
funny.
She's like, I'll see you after class. And they're all like, high five, like, yeah.
I like Cindy gets a note, I Know What You Did Last Halloween, and then she thinks about like a date she had with Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like under the tree, having a good time. And then she's got a second note under that. No, bitch.
I'm not talking about that date.
So she's called to the principal's office. This is another reference that I feel like a lot of people will miss. I didn't realize it until I was reading about this, but the principal is Squiggly.
Yeah.
Which so in Scream, it was played by, what's his name? Fonz.
Henry Winkler.
Yeah, who...
Henry Winkler.
He was a greaser from Happy Days.
Yep.
Yeah, the Fonz.
This one right here, they got the greaser from Laverne and Shirley playing the principal.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's cute.
They call Dewey in. He goes poopy.
It was good.
It was good. Cops.
He pulled a real Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cops ask her about Drew, and yeah, they're just like questioning about that. This cop right here, I love his scenes where he's just like really weirdly like sincere, but also like inappropriate.
Yeah, he's one of those that like he does the camp playing it straight kind of way, and it works well because there's so much over the top in this. His energy is like perfect for what he's doing.
Well, the scene where he like sits Cindy down was like, hey, I want you to look at these. And they're the pictures of him in like a woman's bathing suit.
And she's just like,
and she's like, how about this one? And it's just like him just doing more poses. He's like, yeah, okay.
But the best part is the whole scene is played straight.
Yeah.
Like no one's reacting to the fact that these are two, like, it's fucking ridiculous, but it's hilarious. And then, none, okay. How about this one more time? Yeah. What do you think? No. Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to check. It's great.
That's what makes this movie so good. Just like shit like
hilarious.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Ray is hyped to get all the boys in the shower. I love the scene of him where he's just like, all right, I'm going to get you. And he like chases them all and he like takes a towel. It's so funny. Bobby's going to stay behind though. He's got to go hit the back for
Greg.
A little bit.
Greg's staying behind.
Greg. God, I get them all fucking confused. Greg.
He doesn't want to go into the showers because why?
He's got a baby dick.
It's a disease, you know.
Hairy baby dog dick.
He's turbo.
He's turbo.
Steve, have you ever seen Dude Bro Party Massacre 3?
I've seen the cover of it.
Oh, dude,
but I've
you
never
gotta,
actually seen
you gotta
it.
Watch that. It. It's I think it's you I ridiculous. Think you'd enjoy it.
It's another
it.
Like slasher parody movie, kind of like this right here.
Yeah.
Okay, I do love a good shitty.
It's made by the
terrible,
by
awesome
the team
movie.
That does 5 second films.
Yeah.
There, it's oh, so okay. fucking funny.
Okay, so yeah, Greg, he stays behind, hits back for a little bit, and then he gets back to his locker and realizes that there's a Polaroid there. Mm-hmm. He pulls it out and it's a picture of his baby dick.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes it.
Who did this?
He takes it back to the group and shows it, and then like they are all kind of laughing at it, and then
Cindy says,
like, oh,
"I got one too," and he goes, "You have a baby dick also." Like,
wait, you mean Bobby's got a baby?
Bobby?
Bobby's got a baby dick.
Yeah,
sorry.
And then, like they all just like look at Bobby, and he's just like.
I do like how he's painted as this really dumb person, and what does he do is he goes, is everybody have seen this?
Yeah.
And he just brings him a picture of his dick that he's trying to hide to everybody.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Okay, so now they're at the Miss Teen Beauty Pageant.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my favorite scenes. So, like, they're all over there, they're introducing the people, and then they introduce Buffy, and then Greg is up there, he's like, that's my girlfriend! And then there's like, a bunch of people, it's like, yeah, I'm hitting that too! And, like, yeah. They're like, yeah, I'm hitting that too! Like, everybody's just like, doing, he's like, getting so pissed off at the crowd. Her scene is gonna be acting. That's her skill.
Yeah, that's her talent.
Her talent, mm-hmm. Yeah. So she starts to do her talent.
Through art, I shall serve my country.
God, she fucking killed that line, and I know you did last summer when she said that.
Because Sarah Michelle Gellar is the GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should have been world peace, as we all know.
Well, she wasn't going for Miss America.
Should have been.
Well, yeah.
She's going for Miss Croker.
Oh, yeah, Miss Croker, yeah.
Did anybody else notice the different names on the sashes of all the other contestants?
No.
The only one I caught was Miss Felicio.
Oh, really?
There was Miss Felicia. There was Miss Congeniality. There was like, there was two others that I laughed at. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but I was just like, that's great. That's funny. What? Why not?
Yeah.
So she's over there. She's about to start her scene. And then she looks up and sees Greg is getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts to actually react to it. But everybody else is thinking that she's actually doing her acting. And they all think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So
she runs to go try and save Greg. And they're like, Buffy, you won. And she's like, I won.
That's it? So she just goes out there. And the song that they're singing to is super inappropriate.
And I love this because for the rest of the movie, while she's around, she's got the crown on. Like, she goes to sleep with the crown on.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah.
even pay attention to that.
Well, the rest of the movie, beyond her getting murdered, she's wearing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Also, like, in the background, like, when they're just kind of talking after the fact, you can see Ghostface is just back there
cleaning
up the scene.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that scene of, like, from Scream where it's Wes Craven back there in his Freddy
yeah.
outfit mopping up.
Yeah.
Cindy gets a call from Bobby.
She's shaving, shaving her leg, shaving her armpit, shaving her tongue.
I forgot about that.
And then after she hangs up, she gets an "I know what you did last Halloween" call, and so of course she runs to the door, and we get like a fourth wall break because the door is locked, and the camera like bumps into her, and then she sees feet behind the couch, and she's like, "Well, you're," because the ghost face was like, "Let me ask you a question. Where am I?" And she goes, "Well, you're behind the couch." He goes, "Okay, turn around. And then he goes and hides behind the curtain. And of course, that ends up leading to a chase up the stairs where she throws a bike, an old woman, a piano.
It's so good. I love it. And then she makes it up to her bedroom and she gets to the computer and
she does
just
the 911.
Types white woman in danger. And then like all of a sudden it cuts to like police sirens just like flooding the house.
Bobby climbs into the room and he's got a phone that drops out of his pocket, but he's also got a knife and gloves.
And a pair of gloves. Yeah. I love how they're like really like this, like so many red flags right here.
Yeah.
This is how it was in Scream 2. Like you should have known this shit.
So we cut to the station, and this is where they're, like, you know, talking about everything that happened, and he shows her, the sheriff shows her the photos and everything, and Buffy comes in, and she's like, "Are you okay? We're going home," and Doofy's like, "Did Mom say it's okay?" And she goes, "Yeah, she's staying with us tonight, Doofus. Everybody here is then says something about how he puts his dick in the vacuum.
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's one of my favorite bits.
And then I love this scene where Gail is yelling at Kenny and she was like, what did I tell you about why you shouldn't step on my feet? Because Gail wears Prada shoes. then we get the what's up.
Yeah. God, this is so iconic, man. I love it. One of my favorite things about this is how they actually changed the mask.
Yeah.
Just like matches emotion. It's so fucking good.
I was a weird child. I was obsessed with all of the Budweiser commercials growing up.
Really?
I was so obsessed. The frogs, the Budweiser. I actually like stole one of my parents' shirts.
A Budweiser shirt?
Frogs, yeah.
Seriously?
It was a pajama shirt. I was obsessed with these commercials. It was weird.
Their marketing team, yeah. Really worked for you then.
Yeah. I mean, Budweiser knew what it was doing back in the day. They really cleaned up on their commercials.
Okay, so now Cindy is staying over at Buffy's house. They're in her room talking. Dewey comes in to check on him and
Doofy.
Reveals,
Doofy.
That's what I said, right?
You said Dewey.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, Doofy comes in to check on them, and he reveals that he knows about the person that they killed.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sure it's not the guy you killed. And Cindy's like, what? How does he know? And Buffy's like, he overheard. It's fine. He's not going to tell anybody.
So he goes to his room, and then what do you know? Cindy gets a call. It's the killer.
Mm-hmm.
They cut it off prematurely. She, like, the mom comes in, she gets concerned and goes to run to get Doofy. And then Doofy, like, you can hear him on the phone. He's like, no, it's not me. And he, like, closes, he hangs up the phone. And then he runs out of the room with the vacuum on his dick. Yeah. It's just like, I love that shot of him just like walking in, like trying to check on him. He's got the vacuum cleaner there.
So at school the next day, Ray does the stew talk with Cindy. That's how I made the note. Like, no, he's not mad. He's heartbroken. You branded him the Candyman. And Shorty references Scream directly, like says Scream.
Oh, yeah. He's like, no, they did this shit in Scream.
It's a so in the behind the scenes, he was like, no, I love Scream. And it's not just because Miramax is telling me that I have to say that.
Yeah. It was funny.
But they were like, OK, so Scream comes out and Scream 2 comes out. And then I Know What You Did Last Summer comes out. And we're like, all right, we got to do this.
Bobby is there in school. He got bailed out. Cindy is kind of questioning if he was actually the killer or not. And then they kind of, I can't remember. Does he do the same thing that Billy did where he's like, yeah, your dad died a long time ago. You need to just get over it.
I forget exactly how this conversation goes, but it does end with her saying like, sorry that my messed up life is an inconvenience to your perfect existence. And then she does the Sydney run. Somebody did a side by side of these scenes. And it really is how Neve Campbell runs in the movie. And I love it. It's even better.
Call attention to the thing that was already weird and bizarre from that one. Yeah.
And I think it works too, because like, think about it in Scream. Scream is a satire, but it's also very much meant to be a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because you have this tense, dramatic moment and like you're feeling all of the emotions that are happening in that scene. So when she runs off, you're just like, yeah, I don't blame her for running off. But then when you take that and put it into this movie and everything is comedic and magnified and you see her run off, you're like, ha ha, she looks. And then when you put them side by side, you're like, oh shit.
I need to. We need to watch that again after this, because like I need to see the similarities of that.
It's pretty great.
Okay, so now we get the scene with Miss Man. We won't have to go too far into detail with this one right here, but she's lecturing the girls in the locker room.
Well, because Buffy's bullying Cindy. She really is a fake ass friend.
Yeah. Buffy stays behind in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Because she's Shannon Elizabeth, and Shannon Elizabeth has to wander around a bathroom.
This is like, in the most technical sense, a bathroom, but we'll allow it. Because, I mean, there's, like, showers and, like, an actual...
Yeah, locker rooms all have toilets.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
And showers.
Yeah. Killer...
Which we know Shannon Elizabeth doesn't go to the bathroom for the toilet. She goes for the shower anyway.
That's true.
Or the bath.
Or the bath. Yeah, yeah. You're right. So she's basically doing the Tatum thing here, where, mm-hmm. like, the killer comes out. And she's like, oh, are you going to get me? Am I in a scary movie?
I want to be in the sequel. Yeah.
And she like keeps doing that into like the whole point. Like he keeps like stabbing her repeatedly, and she like throws herself. She's like, "Oh, is this a part where I'm supposed to like trip and break my leg?" So she like throws herself down on the ground, and just like throws her leg out of socket.
Yeah, talking about a Chris Ramsey breaking his leg in Spiral. This is
oh yeah, it's pretty.
And he
good.
Just ends up throwing her head in the lost and found bin.
Okay, so we cut outside. There's a guy. He's threatening to jump. Everybody's trying to calm him down, but this is where Cindy goes out and does the Jennifer Love Hewitt. I know what you did last summer. What are you waiting for?
Except there's a man on. Like...
Yeah. And so he just like jumps and just falls right in front of him. Yeah. It's so great.
So Ray and Brenda are making out and she's wearing his football jersey, and then it turns into him having her completely dress up in his all his gear, shoulder pads and helmet and everything.
Yeah. Put on a helmet. Yeah.
Gail goes to Lover's Lookout and she interviews a lone teen in a car and she's like, has it occurred to you that your boyfriend is dead and you're likely going to be killed next?
Yeah, she's like, well, he's been missing for about 15 minutes now. Went to go check a sound, so I don't know where he is. And she's like, yeah, you're going to be killed. She's like, oh, really? Me? And then that's when Ghostface comes up and like starts to stab her, and he gets frustrated with Gail there because, you know, he's trying to do his job. He's like, just let me do my fucking job.
So Gail and Kenny run, and that's where we get the Blair Witch. And
oh yeah, where she runs off. Yeah.
So much snot coming out of her face.
God, it's so nasty. All that. Ugh.
Then we cut to Ray and Brenda in a movie, Shakespeare in Love.
Oh yeah, Shakespeare. Yeah. Forgot about
I don't that. Know why that killed me every single time she says Shakespeare.
I think it's kind of crazy. Like, I always forget that this movie also covers Screams 2 and 3.
Just Scream 2, right?
No, they do 3 at the end with Shorty, where he's doing the post video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he's like reading off the rules or whatever. Oh, shit. I guess he kind of does read off the rules in the end, doesn't he?
So, yeah, basically this is kind of a riff on the opening for Scream 2.
Yeah. Brenda's a super obnoxious moviegoer.
Which I still maintain... Everybody else in the theater was being obnoxious. I don't think Maureen was that obnoxious.
Oh, in the...
In Scream 2.
In Scream 2, yeah. Everything, like...
Because everybody else was being loud and obnoxious, and just because she wasn't having a good time doesn't mean she was any more obnoxious than anyone else.
I guess it's like a party pooper type thing. Like, she was being, like, as loud as everybody else, but everybody else was, like, having a good time, and she was raining on the parade type deal. Brenda, though, she's, like, straight up recording the movie. She's, like, yelling about how stupid everything is and everybody's
she
getting pissed off.
She takes a phone call.
Yeah, she takes a phone call. Ray, he's in the bathroom. It's just, like, a glory hole. Instead of getting stabbed in the head, he gets a pee-pee through the head.
Yeah.
Ghostface comes back, sits next to Brenda.
He starts stabbing, and then she gets up, and everybody else
He's about to stab her, and then everybody gets so fed up that they take the knife from him and then start stabbing her. So she like gets up and walks down the aisle, and everybody gets up and starts stabbing her.
Well, everybody's talking about all the other movies that she's ruined for them, too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I love the idea that she's just like a serial movie spoiler.
I love that Brenda just comes back in every single movie despite...
Even though she dies.
Yeah, despite that. She just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
They have a whole funeral for her in the third one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay, so now we're at the house party at Cindy's house.
It is out of control. She is so stressed. And it gives me a combination of Mean Girls, where Katie's having to stop them from throwing the fertility base... around, and then speaking of Darren Aronofsky, you get like Mother. And that like that one was just so stressful because people just kept coming in.
Yeah, except this time a baby doesn't die, so I think we're okay.
Well, the baby
fucking Darren Aronofsky, man.
That's another one that like we watched it when it first came out, and it still like regularly pops up in my brain.
Yeah. It's gonna be like another one and done for me.
Yeah, it's traumatic until I inevitably make us talk about it on the show.
Yeah, that's what happened. So they're doing the garage kill scene here. It's not Tatum this time. It's just like a random girl going in there to get beer, but she's also a
little
bit too large.
Well, here's the thing. As tiny as Rose McGowan is, she's still a whole ass human, and the garage door should not have been able to lift her up.
Yeah, we all question that. I wonder, like, did they like rationalize that by having it be like she got shocked to death or something?
I think so. I think that's what they tried to say. Okay. I mean, and garage doors are dangerous. Those springs are like an actual like projectile that can kill people. I do love her though. She was like, "Please don't kill me. I'm just a day player."
Yeah. Okay, so Cindy's wasted and Bobby arrives and she wants to take Bobby upstairs so they can finally have sex.
We noticed this for the first time watching this on Friday. The way Cindy's eyes were moving after they have sex, like they're just like side to side.
Yeah, they're just side to side. It's like she's like reading a script.
Yeah, like yeah. It's almost unnerving. Like yeah. It feels unnatural.
Well, they also call out, like Bobby's like, yeah, we got the whole movie crew here, and they like break the fourth wall and show like everybody filming the scene. I do think about that sometimes whenever I think about sex scenes. Like I'm like, God damn, that's got to be the worst.
I am happy that intimacy coordinators are a thing now, but it is appalling that that's such a recent thing and that it had to come after a lot of nasty shit happened. Jordy and his group are smoking and Ghostface joins in and also starts smoking, and this is where we get the mimics electronic sound that Harold's killer's appearance.
I love the scene of them where they're like prank calling together, like they're both doing the calls.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, they all start doing like freestyle rapping and Ghostface gets really into it.
Wait, hold on, Steve, how much of that do you know? Can you recite most of that?
I got a slash and gash, cut another hole in your ass. I spill blood on the walls and play tennis with your balls. If the phone rings, don't answer the call. Gonna slit your throat, fuck you like a goat, peel your foreskin off and make a winter coat. Peace.
After he like looks around and sees all of the dead bodies surrounding him, it's so great.
So Ghostface appears and gets, I put in quotations, Bobby, and then chases Cindy downstairs. Bobby comes down the stairs, falls, except then when Shorty appears, and Cindy's like, Shorty, we got the killer's in the house, we gotta go. And Bobby stands up and shoots Shorty. And Ray is in on it also.
Yeah, he's got the voice modulator. He comes in with that. This is
they go into the kitchen. And this is where they're cornering her and they're explaining their whole plan. And they start talking about all of these bad horror movies. And we both got super fucking offended. They're like, What was with that fat white Jamaican in the second I Know What You Did Last Summer? And she goes, it was just bad casting, Bobby. And we both went, how dare you call Jack Black bad casting?
It's so good, yeah.
And I mean, it really, because also, I mean, yeah, it is stupid to have like, and I think I Still Know What You Did Last Summer kind of makes fun of the fact that he is like, you know, fake Rasta man type thing. So, but he's Jack Black. It's a bad character, not bad casting.
Yeah, right. He did the best with what he was given. He did great with it. I am going to ask though, like, I've never really put much thought into it, but like, what exactly, like, who are they the killers of in this? Because we know that it's actually Doofy. They shot Shorty.
I think they were mostly just going to kill Cindy and then run away together.
I guess the girl in the garage too. Like, I just never really thought about it. I was like, you know what?
Yeah, he just was saying that it's a lack of sex that drove him crazy, and he ended up experimenting around and figured out he was gay, and so they're just taking advantage of the existing killer to kill Cindy, and then they're gonna run off.
They just straight up did the subtext and scream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're making the subtext text.
So, let's see, where are we?
They do the, like, okay, just like we practiced, where they're gonna, like, stab each other, except he goes, Wait.
No, I have to give Ray his, I can't remember which one it is that plays him, but his Stu Mocker impression where he goes, and wait, there's more.
Yeah.
It's like so dead on. And he's got drool just like shooting out of his mouth.
And honestly, not that much more than Sweet Baby Matthew Lillard. Yeah. Has.
And then he like caps it off. He's like, I'll be right back. He like just backs away.
I do that all the time.
You do, yeah. Stu's so horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been
killing,
him coming back.
Yeah. So they were just killing their friend group then, basically.
Wow, that's weird. So I never really actually think about this movie having multiple killers, but I guess they do.
Hmm.
Which is in theme for like a Scream movie. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Ray eventually does do the stabbing to Bobby, and then Ghostface appears and stabs Ray and chases Cindy, and this is where we get like the Matrix
parody.
Matrix
fight. Yeah.
And then she ends up beating him, And she gets her dad, and the cops arrive. And then this is a Halloween moment where Ghostface is the body was out the window, and then she runs out there, and he's gone.
I like how the dad's like, "Yeah, the killer, he killed a couple of people, and he sprinkled drugs all over my house." Yeah.
So at the station, the sheriff is talking to Cindy. You know, she's confessed about the guy that they hit and ran last year, and they're like, "Well, no, that guy was actually dead, David Keegan. He was, you know." It's real. And then they realize it's like a full, you know, like we talked about Usual Suspects, Kaiser Soze moment where they realize that it was Doofy whole time. And he's running out there. He takes off it. He slicks back his hair and he takes off his mustache, lights a cigarette, and hops in a convertible with Gale Hailstorm.
They ride off into the sunset. They run her over, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And that's how the movie ends. Oh, Shorty.
Shorty.
That's right. He's given rules which look sound like they're going to be for the horror movie, but then it's actually him robbing a place. That's really good. I feel like they definitely threw that on last minute since Scream 3 came out.
Yeah.
Like, so late, they're like, okay, we got to like shoot this scene real quick. That way we can cover all of them.
And that's why it's like
at the end.
End credits. Yeah. All right. Now that we talked about it, I still feel like 8.75 is my correct rating for me.
I'm good with 9 still, too.
Right. Eat that shit. Steve, as the one with the lowest as the one with the lowest score, you've got to tell us one thing that you would change that would bump your score up. I want all of our audience, if they haven't listened to our episode of Tusk, to go take a peek at that and realize that you gave that a 10 before we even had a chance to discuss
Steve,
anything.
Did you give that a 10? I can't remember.
I'm almost positive because I was like, what would you rate this out of 10? You're like, 10, 10, 10.
So like lean more into like the horror part of the horror comedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that's one of the things that I think that they did really well with Scary Movie 3, because I watched that. Like I got the Blu-ray of that whenever I was a kid, and I remember throwing it on. And I was kind of afraid to watch that alone because like some of that shit actually freaked me out still, because The Ring is just kind of an unsettling premise anyways, and they still have like the upsetting footage, even though it's kind of like a spoof of it. I remember one thing that really freaked me out, though, was that scene with Michael Jackson when it's doing The Others, I think is what it is, where he was like hiding underneath the veil of the ghost kid. And then whenever like they fight, yeah, it, like his skin slips off. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching here? It's just like, yeah, I guess if they could punch up the horror, I think that would be like that would definitely make it wouldn't hurt this movie in any way. I think that would be kind of cool. All right. What did Talia think of this?
Talia surprisingly was kind of sleepy during this. And that's mostly because every time there was a fart joke, we'd look at her and she was just trying to ignore us.
To be fair, she's been farting a lot.
She's a farty baby.
Yeah.
So I think Talia, honestly, though, if we weren't making fun of her, I think she'd be laughing, too. And she did have a couple of her little snuffle moments. Yeah. So I think Talia would probably give this. She's going to give it a 7 because she hopes that there's a sequel to Scary Movie 6 that was announced.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about that. But yeah, they're going to be reviving Scary Movie. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. I just want Anna Faris and Regina Hall back.
And Melissa Barrera. She's really wanting to be a part of it, too.
Oh, my God. That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah. You could make her the Cindy or like a...
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude. That would be good.
Perfect.
Wait. Dream sequel?
Hold on. We got to talk about Zoe. No,
I'm just saying that could be our dream sequel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's... I like that as a dream sequel.
Okay.
Okay. Who did Zoe think was the superior hunter in this movie?
Okay. The hunters in this movie. I'm going to go with Bobby, because I think she respected that he did it out of frustration, which I think that she goes and hunts out of frustration that we're not feeding her enough. So she has to go find and get her own food, go hunt and gather.
I'm going to say that she thinks Doofy is the superior hunter because he actually is the real killer, but also she likes to beat up her own reflection in the window at night. So.
Yeah, you're right. Oh man. Okay.
She's a black cat, so whenever it gets dark outside, when she walks up to the window, she like sees her reflection kind of, and she starts fighting it.
We're like in the living room sometimes, and I just like hear like little window taps.
Yeah, we'll just hear like,
which first time you hear it, fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, who the fuck is tapping on my window? And then you go back there and see it's just our cat fighting itself.
Yeah. She sometimes get, because we've got a glass top stove too. And she'll sometimes get her reflection in the stove too.
Okay, so we have our dream sequel.
Yeah.
We're doing a remake of the first Scary Movie with Melissa Barrera.
Yeah, love it. Maybe they make like commentary about like the spoofing films and, you know, oh, it's not just enough to be spoof, but you've got to be elevated comedy.
So I feel like I think it would be interesting to do the Scary Movies, and then instead of I Know What You Did Last Summer, do the David Gordon Green Halloween trilogy.
Oh my god.
Like how they like how he pissed off so many people with like how he like did with like Michael and all that shit. And also maybe you can throw in Exorcist Believer, because people apparently
don't like that.
I have not seen it, but like shit on it for similar reasons.
I think it's just trendy to not like David Gordon Green right now.
Yeah, people need to watch some Righteous Gems at Gemstones.
Yeah,
it is amazing. Okay, so that's our dream sequel. Okay. So tagline.
Maybe a riff on one of the Scream taglines. Someone has taken their hatred of Scary Movies too far.
Oh, that's really good. Because they were actually kind of shitting on the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's actually good.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think we're off to reviews now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So I've got a IMDb review here. This is somebody that reviewed it shortly after it released, August 11th, 2000.
Okay.
So they gave it a 1 out of 10. The worst movie I've ever seen is what it is titled.
Oh, dear.
I wasn't expecting anything Oscar caliber, nor was I expecting the great comedy, or the next great comedy. I was, however, expecting to laugh, and I can confidently say that I didn't laugh even once. It didn't offend me. It didn't gross me out. Scary Movie was terribly unfunny, unoriginal, and uninspired. Wow. At one point, Sean Wayans pretends one of his murder victims was responsible for the cancellation of his show. If that's the case, he should have been stabbing himself and his brother Marlon, because, newsflash, the Wayans brothers are not funny. And Living Color was a good show until it lost its primary cast. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker had its moments. Don't Be a Menace was forgivable. But through all of this, if you couldn't tell the yucks were stilted, you were kidding yourself. It's making tons of money, so we'll unfortunately be submitted to another Wayans tragedy in the near future. Yeah, I got a story for you, buddy. People have accused me of having no sense of humor in reference to this garbage, that I'm a movie snob, etc. The only thing scary is the fact this drivel now passes as comedy.
Okay, here's the thing. We've said this a lot. Like, we love fart jokes and dick jokes and always will think that those are timeless, but we collectively have the humor of a 12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, like, this is a good movie for us. Not everybody has that same sense of humor, and that's fine. I'm not going to say somebody doesn't have a sense of humor if they don't find the same things funny.
Yeah.
I think, Steve, I think you said this, like, towards the beginning, that, like, it has to be for the right kind of audience. You know, if you're looking for a certain type of humor, certain type of, like, horror element, this movie is not going to hit for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with all that. I mean, yeah, it's just like a subjective thing. You know what I mean? Like, and also I feel like you got to like know, like you really, I think it helps to appreciate what they're spoofing. So like if you're also not like a horror person, like somebody that knows the Scream movies, I Know What You Did Last Summer's probably won't land as well with you there either. Other than those, which those movies have like had legs, like some of the stuff right here isn't necessarily timeless. So.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that person probably also doesn't find SNL funny.
Probably not.
Which, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's different types of humor. It's fine.
Okay, on to listener news. You almost knocked our computer over. Okay, I'll start off with this one right here.
Okay.
I only got two from Twitter here.
Okay.
So the Half Price Horror podcast. They say, it's a movie that's aged like milk, full of jokes that are nothing more than men expressing horror and disgust over the existence of trans women. If you bring it over, I will kick you out of my goddamn house. This person hates this movie.
I think this person is kind of the opposite of me, where like I always mentally black out the transphobic jokes, and that seems to be the only thing they remember, which is like, that's legit. Like, there are some things that like if a movie does, like, I can't get over it, and I get it.
I get that.
And we've talked about how unnecessary it was in the first place. So.
I don't blame anybody for drawing the line where you see fit. Like, yeah. I draw lines with movies that have like real animal deaths. Like, I you'll tell me like that's probably like required viewing if you're a horror fan, like Cannibal Holocaust. But I'm not gonna watch it because I don't want to watch that. Huh?
The first Friday the 13th.
True. If you want to draw the line there too.
they kill that snake.
Oh shit! They did. Yeah. I forgot about that. Well, I guess I don't have a hard line then. But yeah, I think at least it's not like that's not their target to poke fun at. Like, it's just like a one-off thing.
But I do think that also kind of lends themselves their point that, you know, a lot of those types of jokes didn't age well.
They didn't. Yeah, that right there. Just certain things did age pretty terribly with this.
Yeah.
Can't defend it. Not going to defend it. Okay. All right. Final review. Aquili Boobs. He's got another two-parter for us.
Oh, boy.
One of, if not the greatest comedy horror spoofs ever created, Keenan Ivory Wayans and family define this type of comedy. From the beginning with I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, to The Amazing in Living Color,
okay.
And all of the rest that came afterwards, this movie went there, like really fucking went there. From the micropenis to the insane jizz scene. I forgot about the jizz scene where he just like shoots her all the way up and he like drains his whole life force out of his body. It's so good. To now, in hindsight, that puffy comment about high scores at his party. Holy shit. This movie did things you probably can't do in comedies anymore. It will always be one of my favorites. Yeah, I agree. Like, there are certain things that didn't necessarily age well, but there are other things that aged.
I guess that's another joke that didn't age well, too.
Yeah, but some things did age pretty fucking well, too. Like, I really enjoy, like, the dumb humor like that, like the gist scene. Like, that's so great.
Yeah.
The horror movie, like, just spoofing on all these movies. Like, those movies are timeless. They're going to get played probably for a long, long time still from people, and like it's still going to be relevant in that sense. I mean, they basically did create this little subgenre of spoof movies. Like, this is the first one.
Like, well, I mean, like, I would argue Naked Gun was doing this.
I know what
decades
you mean by
before.
That, but like where they take like the whole genre and like scary movie, date movie, you know, superhero movie. Yeah. To be fair, I've never seen Naked Gun, so I can't really speak to that. I've watched Airplane. We watched that for the first time last year, and that was really good. Okay, so I think that's it for our reviews, which I think that means that it's the end of the episode here.
Yep. Next month is a new month, but guess what? We are inviting you back to prom this year.
Yeah, we're doing another prom.
So we'll be starting
month with
prom month beginning in May. So be on the lookout for that schedule on our social media. You can find us on Instagram and Threads, at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Blueski, at Least Fave Pod. You can find us on our website, which is leastfavoritescarymovie.com, or you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. We want to give a special shout out to our patrons who keep the lights on over at those said places.
Yes.
We've got Joe
Freakatron,
as is his name, Amber, Michael, Lord Zombie, and Tyler. So thank you guys so much for your support. If you would like to support in non-financial ways, you can do so by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the show, sharing us, talking about us. You know, we've got stickers with our QR code. If you want us to mail you one, we will.
Yeah.
And then you can stick it places. you know, all the fun things. And we just appreciate you all so much. Steve, do you want to remind everybody again where to find you?
I mean, I guess we could do that. Yeah. So, hey, I am Steve. I'm from a podcast called The Decision Reel. We do movie reviews of any movie that's out, new, old, in between, doesn't matter. We have three other people that are normally on the podcast, but, you know, I like to do these things where I get out there and talk to the world with other people on other podcasts, so when other people can come on ours and we can have a good time. You can find us, though, at The Decision Reel, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, maybe not anymore in America, who knows, but you can find us there. We got a website, www.thedecisionreel.com. You can find us there also. All of our episodes, everything else there. Find us, like us, do your thing. Yeah, cool.
Big Thank you for being here. And we also just, you know, it works out for us in a financial sense because we do get the Canadian tax credit.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, everybody go check out the Decision Reel too, because you guys have an awesome show over there too.
Yeah, it's a good time. We've been on their show a few times.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always a good time. They not quite the same structure as us, where they go beat by beat through the movie, but they talk about a lot of different fun things with each movie, and it's just a good,
it's good,
good discussion.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Tangents on tangents on tangents.
Tangents on tangents on tangents. And then when you get on a tangent, you're gonna have a tangent from that tangent.
It's all good. It's all great. Yes. Okay. Cool.
All right.
So that's it for this one.
We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Dude, you know, the thing that always takes me out of those games or makes me not want to play them is, like, the freaky fucking, like, insect monsters. Like, they're so giant and so disturbing looking. I have, like, arachnophobia, so, like, whenever, like, especially playing Skyrim, whenever I see, like, those giant spiders, I can't do it. Yeah. No, man, you gotta, like, look at them, too. I can't do it. It's, I have to, like, squint to do it. Yeah, I really do. Okay, Jesse's back now.
I've told you to keep going.
I know, but like, I panicked. I needed you. I'm struggling to remember.